Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
But first, over half of adoptees are struggling with lack of access to identity and biological medical information. That's according to the Repeal the Seal Adoptee Voices report, which is published today. The study carried out by adoption rights group Ahandas shows that being unable to have an identity records causes distress and embarrassment to many adoptees. Marie Ryan O'Brien, founder of Ahandas and co-author of the report, joins me now. Good afternoon, Marie. How are you today?
Not too bad. Enjoying the sunshine indeed.
You must be quite frustrated. I think I've interviewed people about this issue several times down the years, and I just get a sense that there isn't an awful lot of progress around it.
No, I'm not frustrated because we have been very proactive in what we have done as an advocacy group since we were founded in 2018. We've undertaken supporting council motions. We got 20 supporting motions for access to information through 20 councils with unanimous support over a period of a year. We had obviously had the Repeal the Seal petition, which was the most successful one ever run on this area with nearly 200,000 signatures. So I see a lot of positivity in this and indeed a changing attitude to it. And what we hope is with this report that it will really crystallise the points that we have been making at grassroots and indeed with ministers, TDs, senators and so on over the last number of years around this issue, that they will actually begin to understand and hear it in adoptees' own voices.
Right, because we've heard those adoptees' own voices and what they say about the impact on them of not being able to get this information is very stark, isn't it? They have a lot of issues, a lot of difficulties with not being able to find out this information.
Indeed, absolutely. The main issue is, of course, and has been health information, access to biological health information remains one of the main issues that adoptees have difficulty with. And you can see how we've detailed in the report the challenges that this has presented in a very practical way to people. I mean, even where, you know, normal stuff is a random visit to the GP is a source of embarrassment. So we've also highlighted in the report that we have the most restrictive access to this information in Europe. And while there has been progress in other areas in Europe as regards accessing information, that hasn't been mirrored here. So in effect, what has happened is that we have compounded this problem. And while there is documented research on the effects of lack of access to identity information and the effects that this has on adoptees, is more profound in the Irish context because it's something that has not been dealt with. So now we see this as a ripple effect, and how it's beginning and has no doubt affected the next generation is becoming an intergenerational effect, literally, with it. And how do we deal with this moving forward? So we brought in a lot of, obviously, there's adoptee voices, but we actually asked the spouses and partners of adoptees, we asked the children of adoptees, and they have had their say in the report as well. And we've tried to highlight that aspect and the effects that it has on them, looking at somebody they love going through this and actually coming up against what has been described as hitting a wall. We've also highlighted issues with the agencies, their front-facing interaction with adoptees, how it seems to be a very cold and invasive system, how that needs to change, and how basically we, to put it bluntly, don't trust the agencies that are now tasked with this, and how that needs to be moved forward into a new agency, which we have repeatedly called for.
Right. I'm just listening to that, and I know you're saying you feel you're making progress and you're going to be heard with this. But I can imagine the adoptees are certainly feeling great frustration. For someone to go to a doctor and the doctor says to you, is there a history of this in your family? And you don't know. You can't answer that. And then maybe for decades to pass and that person's child to be asked the same question and they also can't say, that is crazy.
I have been that adoptee, and I've actually literally sat in the doctor's surgery with my six-week-old son on my lap and being told that the lack of medical information that I had could not just kill me, but could kill him. So, yeah, I've been there. I've actually walked the walk, and I've had to liaise with these self-same agencies in order to try and get access to this information. And I have been told that I was lucky to have the background information I had because I had met my birth mother at quite an early stage. But I want all adoptees to be lucky. Yeah. I want all people who are adopted to have access to this information. You know, we've lived this as a family. We know it from the inside out. And it is extremely difficult. I think as well the fact that we've highlighted in the report that, you know, adoptees still feel that there's shame and stigma around this, that they feel that they're perceived or treated differently if they disclose that they're adopted, I think should certainly give society at large an opportunity to pause and reflect on this. And, you know, the language used around adoption, I think, is immensely damaging. Again, we've referred to it in the report about this minister's poem said about protect a small cohort of potentially vulnerable birth parents. And in that is the inference that we are a threat to be protected from.
Yeah.
So, you know, we all need to look at the language around this. We need to look at how it's perceived. But I think we need to understand this as an issue that's not simply a binary issue. It's not an issue where, you know, it's birth parents versus adoptees. In many cases, it's two sides of the same coin. And we need to be supportive to both. We need to understand the viewpoints of both. I think that adoptees are very much a hidden story. Their the legacy that we deal with on a personal level is not understood. The interaction we have is not understood. And what we have hoped to do with this is basically to bring focus to it and to highlight the experiences that we have had and to change it for the better.
It strikes me, the idea that Ireland has the most restrictive system in the European Union, that really jars with me. You wonder why that is, and that successive governments have had so much inactivity around this. It does make you suspicious of why it is like that, and what are they protecting, and what's going on. And as we have such a bad record in so many other levels, you'd really have to wonder about that. But the report is very straightforward. You're suggesting a new agency to replace the Adoption Authority of Ireland and TUSLA.
Yes, indeed. We've continually highlighted the necessity for that. As you can see from the report, we've used respondents' own quotes about their interaction with it, and we've noticed a commonality of experience throughout all the agencies where there was this common experience of files being placed on a table, being spoken over files or leafing through files. It's not really what we would envisage as being a supportive model.
Right.
To the extent that it's become what we would feel is a barrier to participation. Now, we have great hopes for the new legislation which Minister O'Gorman has introduced and is at pre-legislative stage, and we've made submissions and we've appeared at the committee regarding it. But, you know, essentially, unless we change this fundamentally, we're essentially putting new curtains on a dirty room.
Right.
We need to change. We were asking this lovely new framework to go on to be dealt with the same agencies who have the same issues and the same staff.
Yes.
So it makes more sense to move this, to move all of this information into one agency. I mean, the AAI admitted a number of months ago, we've referenced it in the report, that they don't have the resources to check, to cross-reference files. It's a basic human right to know whether you have a sibling. There's no cross-referencing of files. Adoptees have no automatic right to know whether they have a sibling. You know, the question over illegal adoption still has a massive question mark as to how many there actually are.
Yeah.
There needs to be these hand searches of files, cross-referencing of files.
Yeah.
And as we have said at the outset in the acknowledgement, we need to literally understand the breadth and depth of this history.
Yeah.
And we need to face it with courage, and we need to know what happened, how many adoptees there actually are, how many illegal adoptions there were, how many adoptees have siblings who are also adopted, and that itself presents many, many problems. But that can only happen within the framework of a new agency and move away from the cold and invasive model that we have outlined in the report and have a more supportive, less invasive, front-facing model within a new agency as a fresh start for us all.
It seems like a move away from an old Ireland that I feel we need to move away from. Marie, thanks very much for joining us today. It's an absolute pleasure.
Not
I really hope progress is made on this now. Thanks very
As
much for talking to us.
Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.